the sun to shine. We're putting the stars in the sky for the flowers that bloom, the ocean so blue. Thank you, Lord, for the sparrow that sings. It makes a sweet melody for the rivers that flow, the rain and the snow. Thank you, Lord.
Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I just want to key in on the first few words there. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. Now, you know how you become not ashamed? Because it can be very daunting, and it's hard sometimes to talk to people. You get overwhelmed. You get intimidated. You're odd man out. I was on the elevator one time. I must have picked up this phrase from Brother Boyd, and this was in the last few months. There's like 10 of us. You ever get crammed on these elevators, you know? And I'm on there, and I want to witness to everybody on the elevator, so I'm saying to everybody on the elevator, we're going down. I said, just make sure your last trip is up. And everybody went, ooh. Some of them started laughing on the elevator. I said, give them something to think about. I want to hand out tracts, whatever. But, you know, in order to not be ashamed, here's a good way to get out of timidity and being ashamed or whatever, is practice. It's just practice. Start out. Now, you say, how do I practice? Here's how you start out, and here's how I started out, and actually how everybody should start out. Start out with children. Children are very unintimidating. And children are the harvest field, and you can talk to them. And you guys that want to preach, you can preach to them and get started, and the Lord will build you up. But you have to practice. Paul said, I am not ashamed. But he had gone through time like others, and we read in the book of Acts, who were buffeted and were pounced on by the devil and his crowd, and you can get discouraged. And so that's what the devil's trying to do, is discourage us, right? In fact, it's interesting, the devil's M.O., modus operandi, is to always be the opposite of God. You know, so if God says, this carpet is maroon, the devil goes, no, it isn't. You know, this tie is blue, the devil goes, no, it ain't. You say, well, that sounds silly and ridiculous. Yeah, it does sound silly and ridiculous unless you understand his master plan. Because when he works his way up the chain and you go, I am a male, he goes, no, you're not. Yeah. Well, then I'm a female, and he goes, no, you're not. I'm something in between, he said, maybe. Yeah. All right? If you just understand his MO, then you understand how things are happening in society, because he's always the opposite. And if you say, I can witness to that person, and the devil goes, no, you can't. Well, I think I have the boldest of Peter and James and John. The devil goes, no, you're scared. And so whatever it is, it's the opposite. You know, man, our church is doing good. No, it ain't. That was a good message. No, it wasn't. The offerings are great. No, they're not. And sometimes he uses that little bit of that reverse psychology. Oh, the offerings are good, right? Are you sure that's enough? Are you sure that's enough? Well, no, another 10 grand wouldn't hurt. All right, what are you going to do? Play the Wheel of Fortune. You know, so that's his MO. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Look what he says, for it is the power of God. You know, John 1:12 talks about the power of God making us his children, the power of God bringing in salvation. And it's the power of God that makes us not ashamed and gives us boldness. See, what every church in America needs, no matter what size it is, it needs members who are willing to lock arms with the pastor and not be ashamed of the gospel. Amen. Now, I don't know, this kind of popped in my head today. I think I could be off base, way out of line. But I'll tell you how I practice this in my real life. This life and my real life. Now, how I practice it real in my life. But what popped into my head today, and I could be way off base, I thought, this would be my prayer for your church right here. God, send us one new family per month. Now, let's just say, for my example, there was four members. You know, they talk about the average family. Let's say there'd be four members. How many would that be at the end of the year? 48? In 2 years, 96. In four years, 200. You see, here's what happens. The devil says, you know, he always says the opposite, but then he also takes what you have and he minimizes it. You know, you can't do it. So here's how I practiced it in my life. One day they gave me a bus route, and this was back in the early days. And like I said, I had these five churches around us. I don't want to tell you their denomination. I don't want to sound like I'm picking on religions, but you could guess. I'm Italian in Chicago. You could guess what they were. And they're killing us, and I'm running a bus route. And I got one kid on my route. Woohoo! I'm going like, this isn't going to work. So I don't know if it was my idea of the Lord. He said, why don't you just pray for one new rider a week? Just get one new kid to ride your bus. So as soon as the Lord said that, the devil said, no, that's what's one. What is one? Then God said, wait a minute, don't listen to that idiot. Listen to me. If you get one new a week, how many of that be at the end of the year? And the Lord calls me Brother Bob. He said, Brother Bob? I said, that'd be 52. He said, if you stuck with it, how many kids would be on your bus in 2 years? I said, I have 104. He goes, you like that? I go, now I like that idea.
Yeah.
And he said, all right, start with one. So I went out that week, and I prayed for one, and I got four. So I came back to the Lord. I said, look, I prayed for one, I got four. Maybe I need to increase it. He said, take it easy. He said, let's stick with the plan. Hey, get a plan and stick with it. And, you know, like I said, I could be way off base, but I don't think that would be an unreasonable prayer. Say, God, give us one new family a month. And just not look at the microcosm of one day or 1 week or whatever. Start thinking about the next year and 2 years. I'm always interested in what I can do to help pastors. I actually feel guilty sometimes if I go to a church, or I do a lot of surprise visits. This one wasn't so surprised, but I've got pictures of surprise visits all over the country. And the pastors like it because when you surprise them, they know you're not coming for money. Hey, I'm preaching in your area. No, I come in surprise. But I feel bad sometimes if I don't bring something. Now, sometimes I can bring something physically, sometimes just encouragement. But I feel like I need to give something because I know there's a bigger blessing in giving. And I said, man, I got to give something. So I give something every church I go to. But I'm thinking what I would like to give many churches is not something from me necessarily, but give something to the pastor's people who then after I'm gone, because this is what I'm really interested, not when I'm here, but when I'm gone, because I'm gone more than I'm here, right? You know, my kind of work. When I'm gone, the people then can continue giving to the pastor or more directly giving to the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I just wrote down a couple of things to not be ashamed about in the church and giving to the Lord. And one thing I noticed your church does real good, this was already on my list, but you folks already proved it, is greet one another. Greet one another, make people feel welcome. I had everybody shaking my hands this morning. And if I was like Inspector General of greeting people, you know, I would have been taking notes. Okay, this church is okay, you know. But that's not my job. But I did notice that. And you even had because I was asked today about the services here, and I said, they even have a greeting song, you know. And a lot of churches do that. And I've been in churches, a lot of churches over the years that do that. Hey, when I was in North Carolina, every time the pastor was up there preaching, all the deacons sat on the front row supporting the pastor. Man, I like that idea. But they were out there, those deacons were the first ones greeting everybody also. Now, I don't know if you got deacons here. It doesn't matter whether you're deacon or not. You're greeting people. That supports the work, supports the pastor. Now, I'm going to be praying, Lord, give me someone. And you know what I do when I'm back home? Our church is a little larger than yours. I look around. Whenever they say there's a visitor there, I make sure that I go and greet them just in case they get missed. And then there's other people who are there all the time that nobody says hello to for whatever reason. You know, you get a little bigger crowd. So I'll be like, Lord, who's not being friendly? Who's not getting a greeting? You know, I'll go look. I'm going to go shake hands with that person. I go and introduce myself. I had a person say to me recently, oh, did you just start coming here? And I said, I've been here a while. It was pretty good. So, hey, help them greet the pastor. And another thing we could do, not be ashamed to say amen in church.
Yep.
Now, I have three basic reasons why we say amen in church. And I know we get that from Scripture. We say amen because we're in support of Scripture and what the preacher is preaching. But do you also know that the next generation coming up needs to hear the older generation say amen, so that that pattern is set to keep it going? The pattern is set. The older generation needs to see, the younger generation needs to see the older generation put money in the offering, set the pattern. Right. Saying amen, set the pattern. Being in the services, set the pattern. Volunteer and work in the church, set the pattern. And so I tell them, say amen. The young generation needs to hear amen. And by the way, once in a while we get folks in the church who are don't agree with the preaching. And they hear the preacher say something, and the church is quiet. Uh-oh. And the visitor's thinking, nobody agrees with this guy. I knew he was crazy. I don't even like the way he combs his hair.
You know? Losing his hair.
Yeah, Pastor Kingsbury asked me the other day, how do you keep your hair? I said, that's in the genes, I guess. That's genetic. Have you ever been in a service, and in our, like I said, ours is a little larger, so some, once in a while I get next to somebody who's, you could tell they're opposing the preaching. They'll make a face, they'll jab their friend, and if I'm sitting near them, or that's something that lights my fire. So then I make sure I sit right behind him. Pastor says something, amen! Guy looks behind him, hi, good morning. But I want to let those who know, who don't understand, and again, Pastor mentioned this morning, that spiritually they haven't got no clue what's going on.
Right.
And they need to hear somebody else say amen to know these people, they support, they're agreeing with him.
Yep.
By the way, when I occasionally go to Wrigley Field, it's been a few years, but I notice sometime when I'm there, there's about 20, 30,000 of us all agreeing on the same thing. Destroy the other team. The Cubs, I don't know. They have South Bend Cubs over here. Do you ever get to go? I would go. It's a farm team, but you know, it's still fun. But I notice when everybody's at the ball game, they're all cheering, you know, the same team. We wear the same. I've got a Cubs shirt. I got a Cubs hat. I got pins that go on my hat. When I was a young man, I played trumpet, and I used to, in those days, they let you bring a trumpet into the ballpark, a real trumpet, and I would blow charge during the game. I mean, I was a fanatic, a fanatic, you know. Hey, I come to church. Some people say, why do you dress like that? I want everybody to know I'm on the team.
Yeah.
I'm for the team.
Yeah.
Why are you saying amen? Because I'm for the team. Why are you greeting people? I'm for the team. And one thing I try to practice to help the preacher is never give the pastor any bad news just before church service starts. In fact, when I travel with my evangelistic team, when I travel with Brother Boyd, we used to have that rule. They say, look, like, the bus broke down or something happened or the food's not here or blah, 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 whatever the bad news is. I tell them, look, church is starting in 10 minutes. Don't tell me. You know, if the bus broke down, I can't run out there and get the bus and pull it in 10 minutes. I said, look, help your pastor, but with no bad news. In fact, here's what I do when I go. I have a list of good news ready to go. Now, here's a test. When I teach at the Bible college over there, and I still teach time to time, I have a test for my college students. I say, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to name 20 things in a row. You get about a second and a half, whatever. You have to name 20 things that you're thankful for in a row, 30 seconds. Ready? Ready? And they all choke on it. Now, I'm going to confess my fault. At the time of my life, I couldn't mention 20 things in 30 seconds. Oh, let's say, I thank the Lord for my salvation. All right, we've heard that one for 20 years. Right? You've been saying that for 20 years, brother, but you got anything new now? You got number two yet? We have a hard time coming up with praise and thankfulness or anything, but we're ready to go with the complaints.
Uh-oh.
We're ready to go, man. Why I don't like the utility workers, why I don't like the garbage man, why I don't like my kid's school teacher, you know, and go on and on and on. I don't want to give the pastor any bad news. But not only that, I want to be ready with good news. In fact, when I teach, I teach a class called Abundant Life Bible Class. And the class starts every Sunday morning whenever I'm there teaching. Obviously, I wasn't there today. But when I teach it every Sunday morning, number one rule is this: when class starts, raise your hand if you have a praise. And then we do prayer requests, but we start with praise. Praise first, then prayer request. And I've been drilling my class to come up with praises. I tell them, I got to beat it out of you. Come on now, praise the Lord. I'm going to come over there and slap you with my Bible. Now, why don't you praise the Lord that I'm not going to do that? You know, or something. I got to give them an excuse. These things have to be worked on. They don't come naturally. Could you take a moment, and this is for the ladies too, take a moment and imagine yourself as the pastor. Wow. Now, I've gone in on a professional side, not in the church side, but I was doing computer consulting. I've been in a lot of churches with the women pastor. I'm wondering, are they lacking for men, or what's part of the reasoning? But everybody should take a moment and just imagine themselves as a pastor and think of ways how you can be a help, greeting the people, saying amen, no bad news, being in his shoes for a minute. And like Pastor said today, don't get offended and quit. We used to tell people, well, you're allowed to quit church, but you're not allowed to leave. You quit? Yes. All right, sit there. All quitters are sitting on the front row. All quitters. I was in a youth meeting one time, and they had teenagers coming in. And they were all, you know, teenagers, they were from the neighborhood, and they were just not used to coming to church. They're all going to sit in the back.
Uh-oh.
And they said, you can't, you know, if you challenge these teenagers, they'll challenge you right back. No sitting back here. Sit up there. So I'm working with Brother White. I said, we can't do that. It's not going to work. I said, what do we do? They said, well, what's the activity tonight? Well, they're having pizza after church. I said, all right, watch this. I said, Lord, give me an idea. He gave me an idea. I went to the back. I said, hi, teens. All the teens coming in. Are you here for the pizza party tonight? Yes. Oh, let me show you where everybody going to the pizza party is sitting. We're sitting in this section here. Sit here, and then when they dismiss, you go with this group. Oh, okay. And I pat them on rows 1, 2, 3. You have to practice it. Paul said, I am not ashamed. Now, why was he not ashamed? And this is kind of some of the things I covered already. And I'll try to close up here real quick. Look what he said in verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul said in 16, I'm not ashamed. Paul, why are you not ashamed? Because I've been getting ready. Okay? Verse 15 explains how he got to verse 16. I'm not ashamed. I'm ready. I'm ready. You remember they taught us in Bible college, Brother Karen, that before you go out in the pulpit, check your tie, check your pants, check your coat, check your shoes and everything. Put a double knot maybe in your shoes so they don't. And once after you look in the mirror and everything's all set, forget it and go. You're ready. You don't want to. That's one thing I like about these pulpits here. If anything you got to adjust, you can hide behind the pulpit. I don't like those crystal cathedral pulpits. crystal clear ones. But I'm just saying, just like coming in to work, some of you guys go to work, you know. Do you hate getting to work and find out you forgot something? Like you're really not ready. You left the tool. Right now in my vehicle out here, I have a set of tools. I'm not going to be working on anything, no computers or not, but I'm ready. Right? I'm ready. Back in the day before cell phones and that, when we in the motorhome, we had a CB radio. That was the closest we can get to getting help on the road. One time it broke down, the tire went flat, we almost went off the edge of the cliff in Pennsylvania, thank you, and your home, see? Yeah, they love me in Pennsylvania, so, and we broke down on the road, and I couldn't do this at night, and what happened with the wheel and the axle, and I said to my wife, I said, get on the CB and ask for help. She said, why me? She said, because you're a woman. Well, she got on there was 10 truckers there in 5 minutes, man. Picked up my motorhome, put it on her shoulders, and brought us into town, you know. Well, she got help. I'm not kidding. It really worked. I said, if I'd have called in, they would have said, die, preacher, die. I asked Brother Boyd one time, why'd you take your name off the side of the bus? He said, they're trying to kill me. So, hey, I am ready. I'm ready. You know, when I do teach the class back at home, class starts at 9:45. I like to be there at 9 o'clock. Why? I want to be ready. You say, Brother Carnes asked me to preach. I got a paper here. I got a little booklet. You know, they tell you not to take booklets. I'm getting my old age. I got a booklet here with 30 pages of what? I'm ready. Plus, I got sermons memorized. I was with Brother Boyd one time. He called the guy in front of me. He said, come up here and preach. He goes, I don't have anything ready, Brother Boyd. Well, then he got reamed out for 20 minutes.
Right.
I learned. While he was getting reamed out, I was writing down a sermon. I thought, and I learned right away, I said, that never going to happen to me again, you know, and I don't want that happening to me. And then it was like the Lord said, right? If this is going to be your job, you got to be ready.
Yeah.
Well, what's your job? My job's to be a Christian and to be ready to preach the gospel. Everybody's supposed to preach. Men, women, children, all
right.
Supposed to preach the gospel.
Right.
You could preach it one-on-one. We call it soul winning. One to many. One to a little group. I don't care how you do it. But you got to get ready. Why am I shy? Because you're not ready. You didn't practice. You didn't practice. You didn't get
good
ready.
Point,
and he said you could learn it in 30 minutes. That's right. And guess what? What if, you know, by the way, in century number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or whatever, you know, first 10 centuries, starting zero Christ, you know, let's whatever. But those first 10, nobody was handing out gospel tracts. No, here's the Roman road. Oh, be quiet. It was just word of mouth, right?
Right.
Why? Because they were ready. They were ready. Quickly, go look at verse 14. Why was he not ashamed? Because he was ready. Why was he ready? Verse 14. Because he was a debtor. I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Look at that. To the barbarians. That should be a reality show, the barbarians. And I'm not into TV, but I'm just saying that should be the barbarians. Both to the wise and to the unwise. That's interesting. He said, I don't care what your status in life is. I'm a debtor. I have a debt to pay to Jesus to bring you the gospel. I'm a debtor. I can never repay my grandmother who got off her knees and trusted Christ, who then my mother got saved, who then I got saved, who then my children got saved. I'm a debtor.
Right.
I can never pay back, but I can sure put a down payment. And I don't care who I meet. They need to be saved. I mentioned that to the Filipino guy. That RU program, we went over there and started like 100 RU programs because I told him, I was talking to him, I've been keeping track of Philippines lately. I said, I hear your president over there is, if you don't surrender, they kill you. He goes, oh, yeah, it's pretty rough right now. He had some names for it I won't repeat, but it's like they're coming up and I surrender. And Brother Kingsbury was over there. He told me, he said, that they go into the police station, I surrender, and they lock them up, and then they put them in, and now they're getting them into the addictions programs, and they're bringing them into the churches, and they're getting saved. I don't care what the national. I told him we love Filipino. I said, you know, I love. I said he asked me about Catholic, and I told him my Catholic background, what little I had. I said, but I love Catholics. I said I love Muslims. I said, man. I said people don't realize we can't all be missionaries going to the foreign field. So God said, well, since you all can't go there, I'll just send some to you.
Yeah, right.
So now the mission field's coming to us. How much easier can you get it?
Right.
Have pizza in the morning and witness in the evening.
Yeah.
Pizza. That's the Italian. I was 12 years old, worked in the Pizza Sicilian Bakery in Chicago. You say, didn't they have child laws? Not in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
I worked in the Italian neighborhood. We were the law. 12 years old. And by the way, when you worked, you didn't expect to get paid all in cash. You get half cash and half food. I'm not exaggerating. And then lunch break, he said, you sit down. I give you something to eat. You know, here I am, 12-year-old kid. You wonder how I got this big? He's giving me bread loaves this big with steaks in them and everything. And we're eating over there making pizzas and this. I got to do everything in there except two machines I couldn't run. The one that would knead the dough with the big hook in it and the really cool automatic bread slicer. You've seen when they put a loaf in there and it slices that bread up? He wouldn't let us touch it. He just imagined our hands coming out all sliced. I know, scary, isn't it? I'm not ashamed. I'm not a debtor. I am debtor. I am a debtor. And you know you are too. We have a debt to Jesus. We have a debt to our church. We have a debt to our pastor. We have a debt to our family. We have a debt to those who paid the price before us. And we have to dedicate ourselves to be ready to preach and to spread the gospel and realize we're on the winning team. I'm not surrounded by those five churches anymore. I surround them. I put them under siege. The Mormons came in our neighborhood and they stopped us, me and my buddies, and they said, "What are you doing in our neighborhood?" And I said, "Wait a minute. This is our neighborhood. It belongs to Jesus. We rent them out of town." Amen. One time they had the Moonies come. I don't even know if they're still around. I call the police, tell them, "Go pick these guys up." Police said, "You can't be calling us." I said, "Well, you're going to come one way or another." I don't want to tell them how, but they're going to come one way. Now, don't do it, you know, but don't do what I did. I was a young guy. I didn't know any better. But I'll tell you what, we were not ashamed when we stood up, and one way or another, we need to stand for Jesus.
Right.
Not be ashamed. This, the end of July, I'm doing a boys' day camp. You know what a boys' day camp is? Where you're at home, you sleep at home, and then you bring the boys in the morning, in the afternoon for camp, and then they go home. So they're not going away to camp. They were having camp at church. For 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th grade boys, we're having a boys' day camp, and it's called I Am Not Ashamed. I Am Not Ashamed. You want to, and we start with the 4th graders. They're about like 8, 9 years old. We need to teach them now not to be ashamed. After I got saved, my pastors told me and all the kids in the church, you need to start bringing a Bible. I got saved, like I said, around the age of 7. So I had to be around 2nd or 3rd grade. I don't remember the exact crossing over. But by the time I got to 6th grade, and he'd been hitting on this thing about bringing a Bible to school, and I went to public school. I got me one of these little, I'm pretty sure it was a Gideon's New Testament. You remember those? They're still around. And mine was a deluxe model because it had Proverbs and Psalms in the back. And I brought that Gideon's Bible. In those days, we had these where you sit at the desk and it had a little cubby hole in it. And I stuck that Bible in my cubby hole right on the edge there so everybody in the room could see it. And once one of the kids saw that I brought a Bible to school, he shouted out in front of all the classmates, "Look, Biscani brought a Bible to school," and they all started laughing at me. And I looked back and God said, "This is when I started getting you ready. They're laughing at you." Boy, when I took the youth pastor in Chicago, I was intimidated by those teenagers years later. God said, "I'm getting you ready." He let me come across that verse. I think it was in Jeremiah. He said, "Be not dismayed at their faces."
Yeah.
Oh, man, when I said that, I'm going to kill them. You know, I just got the boldness. You got to get in the Word of God. You got to pray. You're going to support your pastor. You're going to support God. You're going to support Jesus. You're going to support the church. You've got to pay that debt to Jesus as much as you can. Put the down payment. Get ready and not be ashamed. Amen. All right, let's pray.
For making the sun to shine, for putting the stars in the sky, for the flowers that bloom, the ocean so blue, thank you, Lord, for the sparrow that sings, it makes us sweet.